You gotta really love it.
Yo, man, we have to start this shit. Tell people, who the fuck are you? Yo, guys, listen, welcome to the podcast. This motherfucker doesn't allow me to do an intro.
my bad, I talk too much.
He shows up on my podcast, takes over the thing, starts interviewing me. On my damn thing. Everybody knows I'm not an actor. He's the actor. You've seen this man pretending to be a hockey player in A Million Little Things. I couldn't believe this shit. I actually thought we had real fucking hockey players when they told us we have players from the Broncos or whatever, and then they're like, yeah, don't talk to them, they're real people, real actors. And you show up, you're like, yo, oh,
the Bruins, Boston,
yeah, the Bruins. And then this guy's talking to everybody. When everybody was told, do not engage.
When they told you do not, well, I mean, it makes sense.
Yeah, they're like,
do not engage till actors.
Yeah, like, then they're like, the actors are there, if they talk, you talk back. But these guys are from the Bruins, like, they're the real deal.
I can't believe they said that, bro. That's so funny.
Oh, like, yo. And then the first thing, you run into Akeem. He's like, yo, do y'all shut up?
I was pissing Akeem off, bro. Akeem was like, yo, listen, bro, let me focus on my job. You know what I mean? I was kind of like having fun, you know what I mean? Because it was kind of like my character was also the type of guy that was, he was kind of like the type of guy that's just having fun, you know what I mean? He's, you know what I mean? His homeboy is kind of like having a birthday party. He's throwing a birthday party for his girl, right? And Akeem was kind of like the one, even the way he was written, was kind of like the one that was just kind of annoyed by me. And just kind of like, he's like, I'm the guy that's kind of on the bench on the team. And just kind of like, he's like a little bro type of thing. I was just kind of pissing him off. I was fucking with his tie. I was having fun, right? Yeah. And he was just serious about it, and I was like, yo, honestly, they cast pretty funny, man. Because I was getting on his nerves, bro. I was getting on his nerves, you know. Yeah. And you could see it on camera. You heard me like, yo, Akeem, just maybe on the next one, try like a just like a little less, like you hate him, right? Like, like, let's don't hate him so much. I was like, my bad, bro. I won't fuck with you anymore, man.
But yeah, that's facts. Like, yeah, then you run into the guy. He starts talking to everybody. That was the thing about you that I noticed, like, everybody, like, crew, background, actors, everybody, the man is just talking. Like, yo, they told us not to talk to you. Like, literally, you too.
Like, just you too, huh?
You too. They're like, yo, don't. That's the other thing I now hate about background. But anyway, that's a different story.
Yeah, like, bro, for sure, I get that, though. You know what I mean? You don't want to disturb them and shit, you know what I mean? Especially if it's like a kind of like a very dramatic or kind of like a more heavier scene. But I don't know, bro. These people are all humans, bro.
Yeah, and that was shocking. For me, for you, I was like, yo, does this guy go and learn his lines or some shit? Because on breaks, you were never on in the, is it called the green room?
Green room, yeah.
Yeah, you never went to the green room. You were the people.
Yeah, bro. I didn't hang out with my trailer. No, I like, you know, we talking to people. You know what I mean? I like getting to know people, you know? Especially if it's like a set. And this set was kind of like, I was just kind of being myself, right? So I didn't have to do anything, right? Yeah. When it's the type of thing where, like, I've done something on Legends of Tomorrow where I was, like, this commander type guy. He was, like, a really rough, like, human guy, right? He's a commander type of guy, right? Mm-hmm. It was just more serious. I can't go around having fun, talking, laughing with everyone. You know what I mean? It's just it doesn't call for it. But on this, something like that, it's a, you know what I mean? There are a few episodes about a huge big party, you know what I mean? Yeah, you can afford to have fun, you know what I mean? And it'll read on camera, you know what I mean? Like, I honestly admire those people that show up. I admire those people that show up, you know, and that literally aren't even in the mood, you know what I mean? But the moment that hits action, you know what I mean? They're all like smiles and like, I'm like, dude, yo, man, you guys are fucking real actors, man. You know what I mean? Like me, I like to have fun and shit. If it's like a fun scene, you know, I like to kind of get into it, you know, but I've seen people like straight up not talk to anyone, be super introverted, you know what I mean? Just kind of be like doing their thing. And then it's like a party scene. They come up like, yo, what up, guys? What's going on? How y'all doing? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, bro, like that's insane, you know? What? Yeah.
So tell the people, what got you? Wait, his name is Marcel, if you didn't catch that. He's not on Instagram. He's not on social media.
That's one thing, you know. I'm a bit against social media, you know.
Against social media. Doesn't communicate. In order to get him, you have to write letters. Instead of time. I don't know how he's enacting.
I know. First time I told this guy, you know what I mean? Listen, brother, I don't have social media or nothing. He's like, bro, what kind of fucking actor are you?
Yeah, that's...
You know, it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I think we've really disconnected through social media, and, you know, it was created first to create more connections and be more connected. But I've just noticed from what I've seen personally myself that we're all so fucking lonely. Right. We're all so fucking lonely. And you know what I mean? You're looking, you're comparing yourself, your life to other people. And I can't be the only one who thinks this way. You know what I mean? I know there's people out there, you know what I mean? But these days there's always people have a business. You know what I mean? You got to have social media. If you want to hit up with, I don't know if you have family in other countries, you know what I mean? That's a tough thing, you know, but I just think it's a bit of a, I don't know, cancer to the society, you know?
Yeah.
Nowadays, we don't knock on people's doors anymore, you know what I mean? If we want to see people, we have them in there instantly. We don't even have to see each other anymore, you know? That's we don't go and do none of that stuff, you know? But it's funny they mentioned the whole social media thing. You know how I feel about it.
Yeah.
But eventually... we all have to connect back to the Matrix and shit. Not playing. I don't want to get too deep in it.
Tell us, man. That's why we're here. It's a conversation.
You know what I mean? Next thing you know, people have, yo, fuck the spiritual. One thing I noticed, bro, people that say they're spiritual, I swear to you, they're never spiritual, man. Every time I meet people, they're like, I'm a spiritual guy. I'm like, bro, are you though, bro? You know what I mean? And then I kind of get into them, like, bro, like, no. You know what I mean? Like, spiritual. I don't know. Usually so people that...
You spiritual?
Well, if I said yes now, I'll be exactly the guy who I was talking about.
You're the opposite? You're lying to us? What's going on, mate?
No, man. Yeah, I would say I'm a spiritial person. I would say I lean more towards that. You know what I mean? One thing we talked about even before starting this year, I mean, there's a couple things you don't talk about ever in front of people, bro. Religion, politics, bro. You know what I mean?
Let the world know.
Let the world know, bro. I'm telling y'all, every bad date I've ever had, you know what I mean? The first thing we talked about was politics. You know what I mean? Exactly. Second thing was like religion. They're like... it just gets awkward and more awkward from then on, you know?
We don't agree. Once you don't agree, it's like, fuck it.
And then it's just awkward silence. And you're like, you're trying to save the date. You know what I mean? You're like, so, you're God. You know what I mean? Like, literally, it's like I'm in front of the date right now. You know what I mean? It's like, are you trying to find something? Like, you already fucked it up. You already talked about religion and politics. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're like, I'm not a douchebag. I just believe in this, but... I'm a good person.
Some shit like that, bro. You know what I mean?
But nobody cares. All right. What got you into acting?
What got me into acting? It's funny, man. It's funny. It's always this question is like the number one, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are you doing in this industry, right? That's a very interesting question. Because, I don't know, people always told me, hey, man, Marcel, you've got such a funny personality. You should be an actor. You know what I mean? People have heard the story like probably a lot. You know what I mean? I've heard a lot from people like, hey, man, you've got a great look. You should be an actor. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like people kind of go that route always, you know? But I don't know. I've always had a lot of respect for the industry. I always, you know, had a lot of fun, with that sort of thing. And one day I said, you know what? Like, I'm just going to take some headshots, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And because I went into it just naked.
Oh, shit.
No school. Yeah. No, I didn't know anything about it. I fell on my face like 50,000 times. You know what I mean? I was the type of person I had to fall on my face. I got fired from agents, you know what I mean? Many times, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? I'm the type of guy I had to kind of fall on my face a whole lot.
Yeah.
Just to learn and be where I'm at, you know? And that's just what happens when you don't really have a mentor. I mean... this day and age, nobody really wants to help anybody anyways. You know what I mean? If we're being really honest, you know, I haven't seen many people really want to help each other. That's why I want to make sure there's, of course, good people. And I met the right people at the right time. That's also very, very important. Meeting, just, it's all about, in my opinion, finding the right information at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, because you could be 10 years into this, you know what I mean? And you hear one thing and your whole career changes.
Yeah.
You know, or you could meet one mentor or one teacher, you know? Mm-hmm. That it just changes everything for people, you know? But I just started getting into it. I'm like, you know what, why not? I did, got headshots. I started auditioning for student films. And me being so green, I had no idea what I was doing, you know what I mean? But then I started taking some classes, you know what I mean? Then I remember I paid like $500 to this fake agency. They scammed me. You know what I mean? If y'all are hearing this, fuck you guys, man. Yeah, I remember fake
Instagram. How do you get scammed by a fake agent? What the fuck?
Yeah, bro. They were like, listen, it was one of those like, I mean, come on, it's like one of those fraud industry things. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're like, listen, we'll like make you a star, this and that. You know what I mean? You got to take these coach, this and that. So I threw them $500. Obviously, maybe I started when I was like 20, 21, right? I'm 25 now. And I started when I was 22 or something, 21, 22. And, you know, it was just kind of green. I had no idea. I didn't know people can be evil. You know, not that I didn't know people can be evil, but I just kind of trusted too easily, right?
Yeah.
So I just threw somebody $500, you know what I mean? And next thing you know, oh yeah, the agency closed. The phone doesn't work. Yeah. I knock on the door. Oh yeah, they moved. I'm like, bro, what is going on? So that was a lesson that was worth $500, you know? Sometimes you got to look at it like as how much did this lesson cost, right?
Yeah, that's still $500.
Did you say that's still $500?
Still $500. I still need my $500, man.
$500 is $500, man.
Yo, give me back my money. That's somebody's rent, man.
Yo, wherever you are at.
Oh
my God.
You.
I don't even know. Should I drop her name, bro? Oh my God.
Oh, man. Shit. It was a girl?
What was the woman? What? Why do you think scammers only males?
I'm not being sexist, right?
But you just wouldn't expect it. You'd expect some douchey guy to do it, right? She worked for the douchey guy. So
exactly. Got you, man. It'd be that attitude that gets you. All right. So you got in acting when? 3 years ago?
Honestly, at this point, maybe 3.5, 4 years, you know.
What were you doing prior?
Believe it or not, in Germany, I was actually a soccer player. I was living in Germany. I was born in Germany, right? Mm-hmm. I moved here 5 years ago. And I was playing that. I had a career-ending kind of injury. I broke my middle foot bone twice. And it was very, very, for a year, I was like dead depressed, sad, you know, because that was my whole life. I was mm-hmm. making a living off that. It was just my thing, right? And it took me like a whole year of like just being completely fucked up to, you know, get myself back. And that's why when I got into this industry, it was actually very interesting because it gave me like another kind of, it gave me another purpose in life. So it gave me something that I enjoyed so much mm-hmm. that kind of brought me back to life a little. Obviously, it's a very cutthroat industry. It's very obvious, right? Yeah. But it's just something that just gave me something that I just appreciated and I liked as much as playing soccer. I mean, I'm going to save the fans out here. I'm not going to be like football, then it'll be American football. You know what I mean? I'm just going to say
it's
soccer.
Football, man.
I respect. Like, straight from Zimbabwe.
What you talking about?
I just expected some of the homies out there to be, you know what I mean? From North America, so
so you're going pro and all that shit, or you are still playing in an academy?
No, from an academy, I was like, 17 and a half or something. I signed my first pro contract. And I
Which team?
Eintracht Braunschweig.
What
at
the
that f- point, they're at that point playing in the second Bundesliga in Germany.
All
right. I don't know if you probably definitely haven't heard of this team, I'm guessing. No,
I know the Bundesliga.
They're playing in the second Bundesliga at that point. Yeah. So I was living in Eintracht Braunschweig, and then I played for a third Bundesliga team called SC Magdeburg. And
he's making this shit up, people. What the fuck? That's still who?
SC Magdeburg. German is a really hard language, right? And
yeah.
The way they have their team names, right? My ending career, I was playing for a team called the SFC Hertha Berlin.
I know Hertha Berlin.
Yeah, come on. You know
what I mean? I know my thing.
Yeah, come on. That's one of the only top capital city teams in Germany, right? Yeah. That team and Union Berlin, which at that point when I was playing there, they were in the second tier, second squad, second Bundesliga. And then I injured myself and I just kind of had to find a whole new life, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, friends went away, you know what I mean? Everyone I used to pay for everybody. I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm this fucking great. No, but I'm somebody when I eat my meal alone, it just feels sad. Like not sad, but I like sharing my meals.
Yeah.
I like being out and I like taking care of people, you know what I mean? I love going, like, you know what I mean? I just love people in general. I'm a very extroverted person.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why it was sad, because when kind of the fame, the the money, everything, mm-hmm. when that stopped, you know what I mean? You got your three real ones that'll hit you up afterwards. You know what I mean? All those people forget about you, you know? But, you know, that's a, it was like a whole different life, you know?
Yeah.
When it came to America, I literally had to bury the old Marcel. I literally had my own funeral, you know? And I cried about it. It took me a year to get over it, right?
Yeah.
Which is very hard, but I'm grateful for that life because I feel like in life we have many deaths.
Yeah.
You know, this was just my first death, you know, and it's a new start and you're reborn and you find you're a different identity.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, your identity is not that anymore. A lot of times people ask you, who the fuck are you, man?
Yeah.
I'm like, who are you? Am I what I do or what am I? Right. You ask these questions. You're like, I don't know. What do you think?
You are you.
But what is that?
Like, who are you? That's
Is who you are what you do? Is it, I'm an engineer. I'm a doctor. I studied 12 years to become a doctor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, so I can say I'm a doctor. I'm a doctor. You know, is that what, are you an actor? Or are you, what the fuck are we? Right?
I think who you are, you only know when you die. I think that's who you are. Like, the day you die, the person people say, oh, this dude was this. Because now you've fulfilled that. So you're slowly becoming who you are. So it's like, yeah, you played football until X, and then you became an actor until whoever knows when. Then you become this, and then you become that, then you become that. So the day you die, then we all can be like, oh, this is actually who he was, because this is what he did, or this is who he became to society, to different people. To different people, you are a different being. So even in that, it's like it's difficult to say, this is who this person is. Because when people do talk about you, my experience of you is different from his experience of you, from her experience of you. So all those stories is a different thing. But I think the day you die is where that answer is, who is this person? Is like now when you speak back to say like, I don't know, who was, fuck, I might get canceled, but who was Hitler? It's like,
we
say he was this because of what he did. His family, he is something else. To this is something else. But when you collect all those stories, you're then able to say, this is who this guy was. And then some people can just, you can like the reason, the things he did or not, but still that's what defined who he became. Your guys, your churches, whoever, like people, some people praise them, but it's like at the end, not during. Because during, if you're like, who is this guy? It's like, I don't know what the fuck this guy is. You're becoming every day. So that's what I feel like every single time we are living life, we are slowly becoming who we are. And it's hard to define in the middle, who are you? Because like, I do not know. Because tomorrow, shit can change. I can wake up and there's COVID, and then that reshapes your life. If you are outside, if you're working outside, your entire life has changed. And it's like, oh, shit, yeah. Now I have to adapt to this new situation. For you, it's coming to Canada. It's, you're reshaping your life. So I'm pretty sure if we spoke to 20-year-old, you'd be like, yeah, I'm a footballer. But now you're like, oh, I'm an actor.
Yeah,
for now.
Yeah, you're right. You never know. You never know what happens, right? Yeah. Look at me. You know what I mean? You never know. And now all of a sudden, I'm finding this new... It's very interesting that you have this perspective on it. Yeah. That you, you know, it's just whoever is the viewer. Whoever is observing you, right? I think people will have different judgments on different people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And yeah, it's very interesting. It's actually funny that you mentioned that. I actually wanted to bring something up. Because I remember, I don't know if I told you I was part half Moroccan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Spain, I got a lot of friends, you know what I mean? In Spain, a lot of the Moroccans out there, the minorities, blacks, Moroccans, and Latinos, they do a lot of the crime out there. Right.
Yeah.
I remember I was talking to one of my friends. He was from Angola, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me, I told him, you know what I mean? Why do you think our people here in Spain, why are they so looked down upon? You know, why are we treated so different? Why are we treated, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Are all of us bad? You know what I mean? Because obviously, you know, and he told me this thing that made me really think. He said, hey, listen, if seven Moroccan guys rob you, what do you think the eighth one is going to be like, you know? I'm like, okay, this is kind of like, it hurts,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then he gave me another one. If seven black guys in Spain, you know what I mean, hit up some Spanish people and rob them or something, you know what I mean? What are they going to think of the eighth one?
Yeah.
So the minority is going to turn into the majority. Yeah. You know, and that's why this perspective of everyone kind of, people get put everyone in the box is kind of like that, you know? And that's what was like, wow, this homie, a brother saying this to me and being like, kind of just being straight up with me. Right. Cause I was like, oh, why does racism, why is it, you know what I mean? It makes sense. Right. It makes sense. It does. These are heavy topics.
You know? Yeah, it does. It's a complicated topic because it's like, on the other hand, you're like, but not really. Because like, if you look at, if we say a group of seven people do some weird stuff, right? And we look at it and being like, oh, it's seven black people. But it's seven people who did something. It's not seven black people. You're just picking up the skin color. So even if a white person was to do it, we can't just say it's seven white people. It's, no, it's Jimmy James and that guy who did this fucked up shit. So we have to look at it from a perspective of, and then we can ask questions like, why is it that these seven people did this? And it can be, oh, it's a minority. And then there are other issues where we can fix those issues in society to be like, yo, we have to give people opportunity, which we understand is like, let's say you're in Spain, where I'm assuming they're Latinas, but they're like white. Okay, let's just say it's you're in a white majority system. If you're looking for a job, a white person is likely to hire another white person before they start to look at another person to be like, oh, you have the same skills. So the problem I feel is at some point people have to be taught to just look at a person as, this is a human being. Mm-hmm. And because if you're looking at it as, you're looking for a job and then you're like, yeah, you can clean cars the same way this white dude can, but then if I have to choose between these two, it's like, this person looks more like me than this person. And then when you don't choose that person, they still have to eat, right? And in order to eat, if they cannot get the job, and then there's food, it's like, I just have to take from this guy because he's more privileged than me. Because the guy who's giving the job looks like him, and they're kicking me out. And then when that guy comes and robs you, and then you say, no, these black people, they rob us all the time. And then, yeah, we hate on them. And then for these black people, it's like,
these Latinos, yeah, these Moroccan, these Arabs.
Yeah, they're still from...
It makes sense.
For these people, then it becomes, oh, these people have all the food. Fuck them. You know, it's like, whereas it's supposed to be just, we are society. How do we make the most of our society and give each other opportunities that, for if someone is eating, they have no need to take from you. It's like, we can all be friends, but I don't know how to do it because it's, that's what, like,
how do we create this utopia? Because everyone's gonna hate somebody at some point.
Yeah, it's
people grow up in different areas and barrios and hoods and whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you get out of that situation? It's, right? If you don't take it, nothing's given to you, so you gotta go take it. Right? That's their mentality.
Yeah.
Right?
It's almost next to impossible. I feel like it's next to impossible to fix because you have to go back. Way, way back. Because the problem with race is one race is already ahead of every other race. So we're trying to catch up. But in America, they'll say you're 400 years behind. So it's like, how do you catch up? Like, think about, I was reading, like, when Prince George was born, he had an inheritance of $1 billion from the day he's born.
That's like, that old money.
That's old money. And then there's the same kid, can be any race, who's born at the same time. You are inheriting debt on the same day these two kids are born. So when you're coming up, the opportunities are different. Prince George can walk into any place and they'll be like, yeah, welcome.
Imagine this inheriting debt. It's actually funny that you touch upon that because actually this reminds me of a friend of mine, his story. When he was 22, he's from Belgium. He lives in Antwerp, which is, that's kind of the cocaine capital of Europe. All the cocaine, all the drugs from Colombia come all the way to Antwerp, and that's where it gets distributed in Europe, right? Because it's a port city, so it's a very important city in Europe. That's why Belgium is actually a very important country as well. Yeah. It's literally the capital of Europe, and Brussels is literally the capital of Europe, right? That's where they have all the parliament and all that for all of Europe together. And he was 22, and you know, he had a very tough life. He had a very tough life, and he was in that, and he fought his ranks through, and he became a drug lord, right? He literally became one of the top people, and the type of sacrifice that it took, you know, because what happened to him was when he was 22. This is tough to talk about. this is, he was 22. His father committed suicide mm-hmm. in front of him, and he left him with €300,000 debt. Yeah. You know, it's not that he didn't love his son. It's not, you know, he was actually a great father. I know many might disagree with the story, but you know, you're never going to know unless you see the person and the way they tell you. Mm-hmm. Right. So he was dead depressed. Obviously he was dead depressed. He was suicidal. He didn't know what to do. So he's like, you know what? After, you know what I mean? He had two kids on the way, wife left him. You know what I mean? It's just, he's literally this man. His name is Abbas Fasai. He's an actor. He's famous in Europe. He's like a big, big actor in Europe. He's an inspiration. I got the chance to work with him on this last movie that I did when I was in Spain mm-hmm. in this January. And I met him there. He was just an inspiration. He said he was 300,000 years in debt. He's like, he had two kids to take care of by himself. He was drinking literally every 5 hours, Jack Daniels bottle to himself. He didn't know what to do. Yeah. He said, you know what? My dad taught me that whatever I wanted, I could do it. If you want to make money, you can do it. So he just said, you know what? I'm going to make $300,000 this year. Maybe his means were wrong.
Yeah.
He got into this drug business. He got himself out of debt. Then finally, you know what I mean? After many dangerous situations, he finally overcame this debt that was left to him.
Yeah.
Right? This is a hard thing to overcome, right? Mm-hmm. And he finally got through. And now he's living like a halal lifestyle.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he got out of the business, right? And he's doing good for himself. He became an actor and he's become a very well-respected man in Belgium. People love him, you know. I would even say I adore him so much, you know what I mean? Great, great dude, you know. It's interesting type of people you meet. You never know what type of suffering somebody might be going through. You think you might be going through something, you know. That doesn't mean that what you're going through isn't as bad or something because you just don't know any better.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially, like what that person is going through. And That's the sad part. I feel, I don't know how the world can be fixed because it's fucking
you don't know how the world can be fixed, huh?
Yeah, because
I think we got to start with our environment, bro. We got to try to help as much people as possible.
But how? Because the thing is, you want to help, right? But it's like everybody individually is going through a lot. And we all have different problems. That my problem is not your problem at that specific time, right? So you can be like, some people just need food. And then you give them food. It's like, okay, we've solved the food problem. But shit, I'm living in a weird house. So now I need housing. Now I need this. Now I need that. It's just that food is my primary issue at this specific time. For him, it's he had the $300,000 debt. He had kids that he has to raise, right? He's like, fuck, I need to pay this $300,000. Oh, fuck. Like, shit is dead. But then it's like, after you raise the $300,000, the debt is cleared. Now you're on zero. We have to start building again and to move forward and progress. And then to be able to say, okay, now I'm in a position where I'm like, yo, this life is fucked up. But it's like, yo, this life is fucked up. But in fixing yourself to get to zero, you also did some fucked up shit that somebody has to come in and clean up. So it's like, it's a never ending cycle that was created, I feel like, many, many years ago when I blame the people, the British people who left the little England and started going and scattering into people's countries and messing with different political systems or ecosystems that people were building for themselves to be okay. Because when you read history, it's like countries, people took care of themselves until someone came in and then disrupted that system of, because a lot of people had, like, if you look in Africa, there was a point whereby if you were a farmer and you had like cornfields, they'll make food or leave like little pots and firewood. Like if you're traveling and you feel hungry, you just stop, you cook yourself something and you keep moving. This is the system these people had. And then when someone comes in, like, oh, that's not profitable, cut it. Because now we have to appease the king or queen back in England. And then you fuck up that system. So now if you look at the entire global system, that period that we had, it fucked up so many societies to where the problem I really do not feel can be fixed until I don't know how you do it or whoever tries to do it. Because he's one man who had minus 300,000 who ends up with a beautiful story. What of the other thousands that we never get to know of that end up on the streets? We end up dying trying to just give their kids a better life than the life that they had, right? So it's like, how do you solve that issue when you have a global population, 7 billion, almost 4 billion of those people are in poverty. They're fighting every day. If you look at countries like Syria, Iran, like those wars, they leave a toll on people. So when you're trying to solve an issue in America, you still have issues globally that you need to solve. And those people, when they're growing up, they're growing up going, fuck, man, this shit where we're living is not cool. We got to move. They still come to America, Spain, wherever that is. And then those issues still keep rising. And the drugs, whilst they're not really a good industry to go in. Like, what option do I have? When I moved to Canada, it's like you come with your credentials and they're like, nah, your credentials don't work. Go work in a supermarket.
You guys a doctor.
Yeah, right? You're a doctor. Yeah.
How many times have you seen immigrant guys? So our Uber drivers and brown guys, right? Literally the homeboy is like an engineer. One guy was like astrophysicist, right?
Exactly.
I'm honored to be in your cab right now. Literally doctors, you know what I mean? Like, I've saved thousands of people. I'm like, honestly, brothers, thank you for giving me a ride, man. Honestly, that's respect, right? Yeah.
Now think of that cab driver and think of, I was told, like, imagine this house as big as it is to rent it. If you're to rent it to have your family here, you're paying almost $5,000, $6,000 pushing a fucking taxi. And then you see a guy selling drugs and you're like,
of course, you know, that's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes there's, for some people, they feel like there is no other way out. You know, some people, they feel like there's no other way out. And that's their way to their freedom, you know. But most of the time, it's very short-lived, right? It's very short-lived. And it doesn't help the society. Most of the time, it doesn't help you. And usually money that comes very fast also goes very fast, you know. Many times I've seen people, you know, make that sort of very quick money and then go down. You know, very little people are lucky that come to these type of stories. And they are able to prosper and find a better life, you know. And I mean, to be honest, if it comes to you feeding your kids, people will do anything.
Yeah.
Right? People will steal, you know what I mean? And honestly, I know it might sound weird, but it's justifiable, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
If you love your kids, you do anything for them, you know? If you don't have the opportunity to have them go to proper school, to the house, you know what I mean? You just do anything. You'd even maybe take on 3 jobs, but sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I've seen that.
We can't judge these people.
I've seen that. Like, I've had nephews where you walk in, you're like, yo, if this little human was not eating, like, what the hell would I do? I gotta go out there and do what I gotta do. But it's I don't know. Politicians have to fix this stuff. Because the thing is, like, I saw last year, I don't know if you saw in the pandemic, where there was an issue between the head of the UN and Elon Musk, where the UN was like, if you give us $15 billion, we can end world hunger. And then Elon Musk is like, okay, show me the plan.
Show me where my money exactly is going.
This will work. And they're like, And for me, the argument was, you cannot tell me in 2022, the UN does not have $15 billion. If they wanted to end world hunger, they can end world hunger. Because how much money does the UN spend per week, per year? What's their budget? So I'm like, we live in a situation where solutions do exist, but I think they're not just profitable for everybody involved.
They're not profitable.
Yeah. Right. So it's like, why would I invest into society and lose money? But then it's like, if you do invest in society, you allow people to do better for themselves. Because I don't think anybody wants to be working in a supermarket or doing that stuff. And people come up with solutions. Like, when humans are well fed, have good houses, and, you know, you're not in debt and you don't have those issues, you can be creative with your time. But a lot of times also, like, you see what I learned in Africa is they'll rather keep you in poverty so that you don't fight for power. Because the belief is, once you're well fed, you have a good house, the next thing that you want is power to run stuff. So for governments, it's more beneficial to have more people in poverty.
And have them believe that they're nobodies.
Yeah,
you know?
Believe
because
that.
They're actually scared of the people. Once the people actually realize that they are somebody, you know, that they do have a voice, that they can make a difference, you know, it's all about a belief system. You know, they want to make us believe that we're weak. You know, this is for the first time we're actually seeing this in history, where people are standing up, probably not for the first time. There have been many times there's been protests, But right now, the women in Iran and the people of Iran, right?
Yeah.
This is the first time, I don't know if you've heard about the story, but a young lady was killed over there, right? For not having her hijab on, right? And for the first time, the people stood up together and they said, you know what? We are someone. We will make a difference. And we will fight for it. We're not going to be scared anymore. And it's very beautiful to see, because this is a nation coming together, standing up. Countless of people have already died, but they're not backing down. They're not scared. So the government is very scared.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, and if this, these sort of things, people come together and they realize that they are someone.
Yeah.
That they're not nobody, and they are someone, then we can make a difference.
Yeah, that's,
they're putting a lot of pressure on them, and the world is seeing that a lot of people are being killed there, you know?
Yeah.
But they're not backing down. They are not afraid to die for what they believe in, you know?
Yeah.
And I respect that so much, and I know that they will make a difference.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. It's a sad thing, because, you know, governments will not back down, because for them, they're like, okay, if we let go of this, what's next? Because for the government, the thought process is always, what's next? And these people will come, because eventually you all look at them and be like, no, you are the problem, you know, you the person in power. It's what we want to take, and power corrupts and all that stuff, right? And for them it's like, yeah, if we allow you to remove the hijab, these women will realize they actually have power beyond just the hijab. It's gonna be everything. Because I remember, I don't know why I keep talking about Saudi Arabia, because but MBS, I promise, don't come for me, please. But yeah, like when they were doing the whole driving thing, women need to drive, and it's like, yo, you lose nothing by making them drive. But the question is, okay, if they start driving and they can start mobilizing, they can start doing this, just cut it from the root. And you're like, why? Like, I don't get it. It's 2022. You cannot just be, they're justifying, oh, women should not drive. And then they were having, I think they did it and then they took it away. I was like, this is weird. This is, the societies we live in different countries are all weird.
But what we're forgetting, and what we shouldn't forget, is actually how grateful we actually should be. You know, I know we're talking about all the existing problems still, but we got to look at where we've come from.
Yeah.
The world is probably the best it's ever been. You know what I mean? Like, hate is probably at an all-time low. If you think about what it was like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God, bro. People are like, what? That's one thing I realized, which literally, like, it's crazy to even think about, is I realized, especially in this COVID time, like, this is my personal experience, going out, most people are good people, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually like having this realization that, like, thinking about it, like, I know the thing is the human brain, we're wired in a way that we only remember, or we only think of the negative things that happen.
Yeah.
You know? But thinking about it, most people are good people. Or most people at least want to be good people, you know? It's just very little that people are actually very, very dark, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Most people, they want to do good. They want to be good, you know?
Yeah,
so we actually have to appreciate and actually remember the fact that we're living in probably the greatest time ever in history.
Yeah.
You know, we have it good. We have a fridge. We can eat whenever we want.
Yeah.
Nowhere in the history of time have we ever been able to eat whatever we wanted.
Whenever you want.
You know, believe it or not, I know, obviously, we're literally living in the future.
Yeah.
Thanks to some great men, you know.
Yeah, that's the weird times. Like, the times we live now, it's, I don't know, it's weird. Because it's like things have gone so good to the point people even complain about the goodness, where it's like, it's like, yo, yeah, we have this, but I don't want that. You know, like,
people have it too good. That's
yeah, people have it too good. Like,
people have it too good.
think about the issues that you have. Like, I know you're not on social media, but if you look at on Twitter, there was the issue with the blue tick, which, like, you're verified, and you have Elon Musk going, you have to pay $8 to have that blue tick, and you have quarrels over it, and people are debating, no, this is not a good idea, this is a good idea, this is not a good idea, and then I just sit back and go, how is this a problem? How does having a blue tick on social media become something that people lose sleep over? You have to conversate and debate, and like, what does it, it adds no utility to your life. It brings you nothing. It changes nothing, whether it's there or not. And this is what we're going to focus on. Like you're saying, there's issues happening in Iran. There's issues. There are places where you have wars going on. It's like, how is society has just become ignorant to reality, or like it's like, I have it good. I'll fight you right now on Twitter. Like, this is my life. I will not sleep until this $8 thing goes away or stays. And then when you think that it's gonna go away, it's like, oh, people actually paid the $8 to get the blue check mark. And you're like, what did you get after getting the blue check mark on Twitter?
Some recognition or something.
From right? Who? Who cares?
Yeah, who cares? Nobody. It's especially like, when you can buy it for $8, I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah, it's like, you know who, I mean? Who cares? Yeah. Like, if people didn't care before you had it, they're likely not going to care after you get it. It's like,
I mean, to be honest, it sounds like a good business move for Twitter. For Twitter.
Yeah.
Know, so congratulations, Elon Musk.
Yeah. yeah, it's like, good for him. But
that's why it's so important for us to travel, you know? So we can see how other people you know, literally every time I've traveled to a new place, mm-hmm. it's like I've grown 3 years into the future. It's insane. Yeah. Every time I learn about other cultures and other people and I have other experiences outside of the place where I'm living, you know, it's insane. When I was in Spain, just learned so much, right? Yeah. I was there for a month, you know what I mean? And it was just... Every time we're traveling, we learn so gosh darn
much.
Oh, yeah,
you see different things. Like, I remember when I came here, I was like, holy shit.
You came here, what, 3 years ago, right?
4 years now, because I came in 2018. And I remember, like, when I landed, it's like, before you come, you'll be told these stories. You got to show up. You got to be active. You got to be, like, it's different. And then you show up, you're like, it's not really that
different.
Different. Like, it's not really that better. It's just different because, yeah, we have, like, messed up infrastructures in terms of our economy and politics, but then when you come here, you're like, ooh, okay, I do get the things, or this place is better, but we also have like better societies, because for us it's a family oriented country, so
there's community.
Yeah, and then you
that's
come.
one thing that's very hard here. I didn't see much community.
Oh yeah,
you know, many people actually, many foreigners who come here, you know, they end up feeling very, very lonely, you know, because it's still a very young country. You know what I mean? It's a very young continent, right?
Yeah.
Many times there's no community, right? So many times when people come here, they feel so lonely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And believe it or not, even people that are born here feel lonely, you know, because there's no sense, like, no one talks to their neighbors, you know, no one even says hello. Like, many times, it's literally insane. I was still shocked. People still make fun of me for this, dude. Every time I see my neighbors, right, I always try, and they literally walk by me. They're a distance of me and you. I've seen it plenty of times in my complex. I don't know why people do this, but I'm like, hey, neighbor, how's it going? Yeah. I swear to you, just dead stare, and they keep walking. And I'm like, bro, like, you're literally like a house down. I see you every day. You know what I mean? Don't leave me here all awkward and shit, man. Yeah. Like, and I literally do it every time. Now it's literally just a game where I'm like, hey, neighbor. You know what I mean? I just want to say hello, right?
Yeah.
And people just straight blanket. Like, I'm not even there, you know? Yeah, where it's just weird.
Yeah, that's...
It's just weird. Like, imagine somebody says hello to you and you look at them and you just keep walking with your dog. Like, the person never existed, you know? Like, it makes me think, like, what are we all, just a bunch of NPCs in a fucking video game or Matrix?
Yeah.
And literally at this point, I'm like, holy shit, this person literally, I don't know.
Yeah, it's
who's the NPC? Am I the NPC, or is the fucking person the NPC just walking by pretending like somebody just didn't say hello to them, you know?
I don't know, man. Couldn't help you with that. I've spoken to a lot of people, and it's the common thing. It's like, Vancouver is weird. It's a lot of, people say it's about your clique. But then I'm like, how do you even build a clique if you don't have one, right? It's like, how do you meet people? And it's, I don't know. Like,
honestly, in this city, what I've noticed is, unless you're super extroverted, you know what I mean? You'll have a tough time here.
Yeah.
Like, because I just noticed a lot of people won't really fuck with anybody, right?
Yeah.
So unless you're super extroverted, you know what I mean? And even then, I've seen it be hard for some people.
Yeah, it's like, if you're... Because I don't know who you're being super extroverted with, if people are ignoring you, right? If you can show up and
imagine
be nice.
Imagine trying to have a chat with my neighbor.
Yeah, and then they're just looking at you like, yo, am I crazy? Am I the only one who wants this? Like, I don't... Like, I've tried. I've studied it. Like, I remember the first days I got here, you go to the beach, I'm seeing people with dogs. I'm like, yo, these people love their dogs more than they like human beings. Like,
That's a very, that's a huge thing.
You two can walk. Like, I've thought people get dogs so that when the dogs meet, then the two of you connect. But it's like they want the dogs to separate. They want to be alone. And I'm like, just talk, people. it's like someone will be like, I'm trying to meet someone. And you're like, how are you trying to meet them? And they're like on their phone swiping. I'm like, the guy you're probably chatting to is behind you in the bus. Like, you can just be like, hey, how's your day been? Like, before you swipe right, like swipe behind you.
Before you swipe right, swipe behind you.
Yeah, like just talk to the dude.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it's honestly a common collective. You know, I mean, even in Europe and Germany, like, talking to strangers. Just every European country is different. In Spain, it's very different. Spain, you'll kind of, people are very open. It's that's kind of the common collective in many warmer countries. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. In Spain, people will just talk to anybody. You know what I mean? And it's a very open thing, you know? But even in Germany, talking to a stranger is like an absolute no-no. If you talk to a stranger, people will be like, why are you talking to me? You know? It's kind of like a, you know, there's just people are, you know, they're very real. You know what I mean? Sometimes a little too real, you know? Yeah. Sometimes we want to also live in our little fantasy world and say hi to our neighbor and pretend like we fucking care about each other.
Yeah, you know? Y'all live with that stranger danger. No way. All right, man. This part of the podcast, I have questions that were written by a seven-year-old.
Oh, seven.
The seven-year-old gave me those questions to ask on my podcast because apparently my questions suck.
Let's hear it then. Let's look at these questions.
Right.
I swear some of these seven-year-olds are getting so goddamn intelligent these days.
Best of luck.
Yeah, best of luck. No.
All right. First question. For what in your life do you feel the most grateful?
The most grateful thing I'm grateful for. I'm talking like a seven-year-old. The most grateful thing I'm grateful for is probably that I still have my parents in my life. I'm very, very grateful for that because we never know. We never know. All of us are here visiting. You know, we're all visitors here. So that's one thing I'm very grateful for. You know, and I'm very grateful for my family.
Where are your parents? Morocco.
My mother is actually here, and my father is living in Germany right now.
Oh, yeah.
Brothers in Peru, sister in Spain. Yeah, we're all over. We're all over the world. So for me, seeing them, that's also kind of a tough thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's one thing. The phone is a good thing for, you know what I mean? You can FaceTime this and that, you know? I'm sure you have the same story. You probably got a lot of family in Rhodesia. I'm sorry, Zimbabwe.
Hey, yo, Zimbabweans.
He's
not on social media, so you can get away with this.
Praise Jesus.
Go after his shows. Any show is acting and attack that. That's the best way. That's the best way to get this man. All right. If you could change anything about the way you were raised, what would it be?
What would it be if I could change anything about the way? Maybe to think, my parents tried to protect me too much from the world, I think, you know?
Yeah.
Now that I'm kind of like on my own, you know, I realize there's many things. I think that's a common collective with many parents, you know? Yeah. They don't want to let us fully grow up sometimes, you know? Yeah. They want to hold on to the thought that we're their little baby boys and girls or whatever.
Are you the last born?
I was the last one. Ah. what gave it away, man? What gave it away?
That's the eight, man. Like, that's the one you all want to protect. Like, protect the youngest, man. They don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. But the thing is, what I realized when I got older was our parents don't know what they're doing either.
Yeah.
That's one thing. We think our parents know exactly what they're doing. No, they just live in a world where they were so sure that what they were told that they were supposed to do was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But even our parents are realizing now that, damn, we never knew what we were doing. Yeah. You know,
they're just trying to figure it out.
Honestly, if any time I see someone who knows exactly what they're doing, or at least believes it, honestly, hats off to you. Like, good for you.
Massive respect. We're all trying to find the answers, man. This way has the answers. What is the greatest accomplishment of your life?
Greatest accomplishment of my life. There's a story that made me so a true happiness you don't see very, very much anymore. This was when I was 2 years ago when I was going back to Germany. When I was going back to Germany, and I was my apartment that my father has there it's close to a refugee center where a lot of refugees from Afghanistan, Syria, Palestine, Iran, they have a lot of refugees there. Mm-hmm. And I remember this story always, like, it just made me tear up when I was there. There's I went to a gas station late at night, and it was 9 p.m. It was like a gas station across the street. And all of a sudden, I saw two little Syrian girls there, and they were trying to buy these like little candies in the store. And my first thought was, well, these girls are like 5 years old, 6, 7 years old. There's two girls. What are they doing? Why are they doing here with nobody? They're just there, and they didn't speak German. They were trying to speak to the German guy who was working at the counter. Like, listen. We want this one, and they didn't have enough. I think they were missing like, I don't know, like maybe 1 euro or something. They had some money, right? And they're like trying to explain, no, we want this one. We want them. They're arguing and they're kind of almost like crying with the guy, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy, of course, I don't know, being a fucking sleaze, I don't know, man. You know what I mean? He was arguing with them like an adult, like if they were grown adults. This was like a 5-year-old girl and a 7-year-old girl. And he was just arguing. He's like, no, you don't have enough, right? You don't. And I was like, oh my God. God is presenting me with an opportunity.
Yeah.
Literally, God is presenting me. It's not every day that you can truly help someone.
Yeah.
You know, he's presenting me, as little as this might seem, to me, it was so powerful. I was like, oh my God, literally God chose me to maybe make a difference here, as small as it might be. So I just walked to the counter and I just dropped 2 euros in front of the guy. I didn't even say anything. And I went to keep doing my shopping. Right? Yeah. I didn't say anything to the girls because I didn't want them to talk to strange men. You know? So I didn't want to talk to them. I didn't know how to go out at the situation, right? I was like, I'm just going to drop the 2 euros. And the German guy, he was shocked, right? He was like, oh, okay, that's weird. What are you, like, your cousin or some shit, their older brother or some, dad or something, right? And the face of happiness that I saw in those two girls, the way they thanked me, they didn't know I also spoke Arabic. They looked at me and they tried to thank me in their broken German, of like their sincerity in their eyes.
Yeah.
I had to turn away. I was about to tear up. It was just because it's very rare these days that you can truly make a difference or you can truly help someone. And that help it's very beautiful to be appreciated, even if it's just a work or for anything.
Yeah, fact.
And they had a chat with them. I was like, hey guys, go back to your parents, whatever you are, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to have too much of a chat, but it was just the most, such a beautiful moment. Yeah, I know that's probably a weird accomplishment, but this was a great accomplishment life. God presented me with an opportunity, and their happiness and sincerity, that made me realize how helping others is what truly makes us happy.
Yeah, that's beautiful, man. Sheesh. That's a beautiful story. The man is not a douchebag.
I appreciate that.
All right. Number four. What do you value most in a friendship?
In a friendship, the friends that I have are my family. You know what I mean? I don't have just friends. You know what I mean? If I'm going to call somebody a really good friend, I'm going to call them my brother or sister, you know, and just, you know, that we show up for each other, you know, you don't have to talk to your friends every day. You know what I mean? People have lives, people are busy, you know, but when it comes to it, you know what I mean? Somebody really needs some help, then you'll see who really is there for you. You know, and it's not every day that you get the opportunity to really be there for someone. So when God does present you with the opportunity to really be there for someone, because it's very rare that you can truly help someone that's not superficial, you know, whether it be emotional, physical, anything, you know, then you got to take it. I think that's what I value in friendship. Okay. These are great questions. Who's a 7-year-old?
This is my little nephew, man. That's why it's Uncle Kevin.
Oh my God.
I have a nephew, man.
My God. This 7-year-old.
Yeah, 7-year-old. His name is Jason.
Smarter and smarter.
Shout out to Jason, man.
Jason? God bless you, Jason, man. That's amazing.
What does friendship mean to you?
What does friendship mean to you? What was the last question?
What do you value most in a friendship?
What do you value most in a friendship? What does friendship mean to you? Family. Family that you choose.
Okay.
And sometimes you don't choose.
Yeah, there's some people force themselves on you. No saying names. what's something people seem to misunderstand about you?
What some people seem to misunderstand about me? Sometimes they don't understand me. Some people see me and there's some people that will just, I've seen it, it happens rarely, I would like to think, but some people see me and they just instantly don't like me. They think I'm like putting up a front. Yeah. And later on, they warm up to me and they're like, oh my God, this dude's not a front. This is just him. This is his fucked up way of being. That's just him, right? Yeah. And then many friendships have actually started with people that just did not like me at first. And when they got to know me, I'm like, they just like, this is just him.
Yeah.
Right? This is just like, that's just him. Right? That's it's very funny that way.
That's pretty cool. All right. If you could turn back the time and talk to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell him?
Oh, God. Oh, God. No. This question. My God. Your nephew is brilliant, man. What is this? Yeah, man. I mean, honestly, anybody that can say that they don't have any regrets... God bless them, man. Because I think most of us have at least some sort of regret. You know what I mean? Things we've done to ourselves, things we've done to other people. You're not saying like horrible things, but just things we wish maybe we did different. I mean, we all have this thing where if we could just go back in time, God damn it. Many times I've thought about this, man. Many times I'm like, if I could go back in time and with the knowledge I have now, my life would look so different, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think that's the beauty of the process. That's the beauty of the road. Like, what is this? What are you living life on easy mode? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's what they say, like, everything happens for a reason. But damn, God, please tell me during what's going on. Like, what are we doing? What are we trying to accomplish here? You're hurting me, man.
My God, man. Stay on your purpose, boy.
Yeah. Okay, I'll be back. All right, I'll do it. What's the most important thing that you've learned in your life? What was your life like before learning it? What was your life like after learning it?
I think one of the very important things is not to take things personal. You know, we're all going through something.
Yeah.
We're all going through something, you know, and many times people get offended by things or people, you know what I mean? Don't like the way that someone said something, you know, we have to understand, we have to put nobody wants to lash out at people, you know, and many times where people do say something to you, literally 99.9%, it's never personal, you know? And sometimes us learning that things aren't personal, that way, certainly in my life, when I kind of just realized, like, this person being like this to me right now, it's not personal.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to say it's not personal, it's just business, but it's not like that.
Yeah.
But it's not personal. These people are going through something.
Yeah.
You know? Just like you have some issues, you don't know what somebody else is. You don't know what somebody's husband is doing. You don't know what somebody's daughter is, something happened. You know what I mean? You don't know. So to me, the most important thing is to not take things personal, because 99.9% of the time, things aren't personal. Yeah. When you know they're personal, then you know they're personal.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just business. It's just business. All right. What is the best compliment you have ever received?
Best compliment I ever received. Wow. I would like to think it's not the personal. It's not the physical. Mm-hmm. I'd like to think that it's you know, when somebody says, "Hey, you're a really really good person.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you for who you are. That's kind of, that's what kind of really touched me the most. Somebody one time I remember is like, Marcel, I really, really appreciate the person that you are. So, you know, it's not, it's very rare when somebody just pulls you aside and like, Kevin, I really appreciate the person that you are.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's kind of, it kind of stops time for a second. You know,
yeah.
This is somebody completely being honest about how they feel towards you. You know, it's very beautiful.
Yeah.
When I look at this, I'm like in this like zone of like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I swear, this kind of like made me melt right now. I was like, you know what I mean? That
time you just thing, got, you know? Just got into it. Started blushing. People.
I know. I started blushing. I remember that.
It's like remembering the moment it happened.
Like, oh, I was like in that zone, dog.
That's pretty dope. What is your biggest failure and what did you learn from it?
Oh my God.
7-year-old, man. Seven.
These right? 7-year-olds, bro. They're getting her done, man. Seven, God man. Dang it, man. Teaching Jason, him the way. Man, what are you doing with me here?
Teaching him the way.
My God. Yeah, there's something to learn from everybody, man. I'm yeah. telling you, man. These kids are getting smarter and smarter, man. We got to learn from them.
They're hanging out. It's the uncle, man. Right?
Uncle.
He hangs out with a cool uncle.
He hangs out with a cool uncle, man. No, man. It'd be real cool having an uncle like you, man.
Yeah.
I can imagine that. That's amazing. What's my biggest failure? And what have I learned from it? Yeah, these are curveball questions, you know. These are questions that'll hit you different. Yeah. You know, there's nobody who really wants to talk about failure, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has such a negative connotation, you know. But it shouldn't. Countless of times people have talked about, you know, failure is the road to success. As cringy as that sounds, you gotta fail. You gotta fail a trillion times. You know what I mean? Like those dudes. That's I give out all that shit. Maybe the way I responded to my soccer career ending. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's hard. You know, we're emotional beings.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we have to be ice cold. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard to let go of things.
Yeah.
It's really hard. And freedom is actually letting it go. Yeah. Letting it go. When I actually let it go, I've experienced what freedom felt like in that moment, you know, but it takes time, you know. I wish I could answer this question better in this moment.
This question, it's a setup. It's a setup. The thing is, if I don't know if you ever heard the Kobe Bryant quote where he's like, there's no such thing as failure. So the reporter is asking him, you failed. He's like, there's no such thing as failure. And then she's like, okay, you show up to the finals. One team wins, one team loses. The team that lost failed. And his response was, that team didn't fail. You only fail when you give up. But if you take a lesson from that, you know what you did wrong, what you have to get better at. That means the next year, you now know what you need to do to actually win. So you didn't really fail. It's just a process towards success. So there's no such thing as failure. It's you didn't know. So whatever you were doing, you didn't know. You did what you thought was right, but you learned that, oh, this is not actually the right way to do it. There's this lesson. Now I can move forward. So this question is more from that quote, in terms of like how many people have that same like mentality where he was just a pushback off. There's no such thing as failure. So it's always interesting hearing different like people's takes on it, which always fascinates because you get different answers
all the time.
Like, I've never failed. Like, are you sure?
You never failed, man. And you're born perfect, bro.
Born perfect. And some people are like, yeah, I failed at this. And you're like,
honestly, I appreciate you sharing that, man. That was a beautiful, beautiful moment that you shared here with from Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
that's soul, right?
That's my dude.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. You're right. You know, it's all about. But what is failure, right?
Yeah.
Different perceptions.
Yeah. different perception. It's like with acting, right? Like people, I don't, that's one thing. I can't actually be an actor because I wouldn't be affected by, what do you call them, rejections and stuff. I feel like that one doesn't affect me because I feel if I were to do an audition and not get the role, it's like, it wasn't for me, or like the guy behind the thing didn't like me, but doesn't mean that I'm a terrible actor. It's just the role, I don't have the look, or I don't make that person feel that thing, and it's not a bad thing. It's, but I don't know. I feel pain for the actors who put in effort.
It's a rejection industry. It's a rejection yeah, industry, it's like, right? You just gotta have some thick skin for it, right? Yeah.
Which is hard. Yeah. I think. I feel you, actors.
Rejected it? Yeah, I mean, that's just how it is, right? You just gotta have fun with it. You know what I mean? I think that where people go wrong is just when they care too much about these things. You know, you gotta have fun with it. You wanna
I don't know. Well, that thing is, what if you've invested everything? You've got headshots for $100. You've done everything. Like, I need to get this gig or bust. Then for those people, it's like, I have to get it. And you know, for some people,
you're putting too much pressure on it. You know, when you put so much pressure on something, you know, or I have to get this gig, you know what I mean? And they pray day and night, and they put so much pressure on it. How can you get it? It's impossible. Every time I was too invested in a relationship, or every time I was too invested in a girl or something, I've ended up pushing them away. Yeah. Every time maybe a girl was too invested in me, they've ended up pushing me away, you know?
Yeah.
Not like, it's in a sense when you just want something so bad and you're so clingy to it, you know? It scares that thing away. It's like, oh, you know what I mean? You're putting it on a pedestal, you know? It works with anything in life, whether it comes to this industry, you know what I mean? When you're putting it on a pedestal, that means you're not good enough without it,
yeah,
right? And it's same in a relationship. Many of times, plenty of times when a guy is too into a girl, you know what I mean, or a guy, or whatever, you know, you end up putting this person on a pedestal, and it pushes people away. People don't want to be with fans. People will want to be with people on their own level.
Yeah,
unless there's people that want, like that, you know, like having that power, you know. But most of the time, you know, even I've seen it myself, when people just put me on too much of a pedestal, it makes you feel weird. Yeah. It makes you feel like, you know, it's just a weird thing. And it comes together with anything in this industry.
Yeah,
when you put this, like a role, I want this role so bad. So what, you're nothing without it?
Yeah.
How can you get this role when you without it, you're nothing, you know?
Shit. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's a different way of saying it. All right. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
But that's facts. Okay, so you are somebody without the role. Doesn't define you. Facts. Okay. What advice would you give someone wanting to pursue a career similar to yours?
Have fun with it.
Have fun?
Have fun with it. The moment this shit isn't fun to you, drop it immediately. You know? You just gotta have fun with it. Okay. You know? You gotta just enjoy the process. That's the main advice. If you're not having fun with it and you do it for something else, not for the fact that you love doing this, you know, I don't know, it's gonna look bad for you. You gotta have, with whatever it is, especially in the entertainment, you gotta have fun with it.
Yeah.
You gotta love making music. You gotta love auditioning. You gotta love taking classes, you know. You don't even need to take classes. I've seen plenty of people out there, you know what I mean, never taking an acting class, you know what I mean, never anything, boom, or smashing, constantly working, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's facts.
We all have it in us. What we're doing right now is, this is a scene, you know what I mean? You put a camera right here, you know what I mean? You're fucking winning an Oscar because you're reacting so naturally to me, you know? Everyday life, that's what people are trying to emulate in front of cameras, you know? So anybody can do it. You just need to know.
You just need to know how to act. You see, this man is an actor, man. He's trying to make us all feel like we can be like him. This is next to impossible, man. I can be the next Denzel Washington. But anyway, just saying. I thought about this. Okay, who are the three people who have been the most influential to you?
My brother is one of them. My brother is one of them.
Oh, and why? Don't just say, yo, it's my bro. Like, okay, well, what has your brother done?
My brother, has taught me everything. He's taught me everything. He's an older brother of mine. He's an extremely intelligent person. He's just one of those geniuses. He became a doctor, you know what I mean? Then he became an engineer. Then he built his own app, sold it to Apple. He's just one of those brains. And he knows exactly what'll work and what won't work. He's just one of those guys. He just knows exactly what to do.
Yeah.
And he would never, ever help you when it comes with money or anything. If I was on the streets, he wouldn't help me starving. If I was starving on the streets, he wouldn't give me a single cent.
Yeah.
But he will teach me how to fish. Mm. And that's what I respect about him. You would never give charity to someone, you know what I mean? Unless it's like a small thing. But he will teach people how to fish. And I think that's the greatest charity that you can give to anybody. Teaching somebody how to fish is the biggest thing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What is a little you know, charity gonna do for somebody? You know, teaching them how to fish is the most important thing. And he's always taught me whatever I asked him about. You know, it's funny. He actually, once again, he came in to help me another time, and he had no idea anything about this. So a month ago, I went, they flew me out to Belgium to shoot a film. And I was going to be paid in euros, right? Mm-hmm. But since I didn't own a company, right, I would have to get paid through the Belgian government. So I'd have to get paid as a Belgian citizen type of thing, mm-hmm. right? And because the tax credit is so high in Belgium, right? Yeah. I need to figure out a bunch of things of tax credits in Belgium, right? Yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, I was a little overwhelmed, right? I had to figure out all these, because Europe is pretty complicated when it comes to the whole tax brackets and that. I asked my brother, and he was just staying up day and night, kind of helping me with the whole tax thing. Yeah. And he saved me a bunch of money. That would have, because their tax credit is so high, they take 55% of their check. And in Europe, they don't want anybody to get rich, right? So if you make $1 million, you only make $500,000, right? Like it's not even 50, it's 55%. You know what I mean? Yeah. So yeah, he saved me. There's not much you can do. Well, my paycheck was also chopped in half, you know. But he helped me go through it, and then I talked with the agent. And I'm like, listen, this is what happened. This is that. But yeah, this is just one of the examples of how he showed up. Even though he's literally on a mine. He works on a mine in Peru.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. He's an engineer there in Peru right now. He's working on a mine, and man traveled the whole goddamn world. Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And the second one.
Second one. Most influential. Yeah, when it comes to my career and what I'm doing, definitely a teacher and mentor of mine named Jeff Seymour, who lives in LA and works out of LA. He, in my opinion, probably the greatest acting teacher and mentor in the world. He just learned so much, you know. He's helped plenty of people. Dude was born for this sort of thing, right? Yeah. Great human. And yeah, I just learned so much from him. Learned so much from him. He has a book that I would recommend reading for anyone trying to get into the industry. It's called The Real Life Actor. Wonderful book. And no, I don't get commission off it.
I do. Hey, Jeff, that. I own my own my piece.
Yes, Jeff Seymour, definitely somebody who's greatly shaped my career. He's a great acting teacher. Everything he says is brilliant. And people want to get into this industry, I highly recommend his book, The Real Life Actor. Helped me a lot. And the third person, most influential person. A man named Sohail Guhari. He greatly shaped my life in my early days. I met him in my soccer career. Mm. He greatly shaped my life, and personality wise, and learned many great lessons of how to be a proper man from him.
And Andrew Tate?
No. God bless Andrew Tate.
nothing from Andrew Tate?
No, nothing from Andrew Tate? No. God bless Andrew Tate. I love that man.
He took you out of the Matrix?
No, I got a lot of respect for that man.
All right. And then is there a question that I didn't ask you that you'd like to be asked?
That's an interesting question, bro.
Hey, you never know. Maybe you have something to promote, man.
I appreciate that. Yeah. You throw me the alley-oop like that. You know what I mean? All right, bro. Yeah. You're right. You threw me the alley-oop. I didn't slam dunk, bro. That's my bad.
See? I'm trying to put the brother on. He wrote a book, by the way. It's called How to Meet Women in Vancouver. He's the master.
Oh, yeah, that sounds a good idea, bro. It sounds a good idea. But it also sounds possible, bro. You got to be extrovert.
Bring out the extrovert in you, right? Coming to a cornerstone near you. The next question is, do you have a question for me?
I have a question for you. Mm. I like that. How did you decide to start this podcast, and who did you want to reach with this?
I was watching Joe Rogan. Oh. And I liked his platform, like the way he would just have people come in and have conversations, because a lot of times when I was thinking of ever doing content, I was like, what would my content be? Would I speak about music? Would I speak about this? And I realized he's a comedian, but he has scientists, he has doctors, he has comedians, he has everybody on his podcast, and just having a conversation. And when I saw his conversation with Kevin Hart, I saw a different side of Kevin Hart that I have never seen in podcasts, and the things that he spoke about, I was like, I want to do something like that, but in Vancouver, because here we have the industry, like we have actors, they come out here. We have actors that are local. We have entertainment. We have everybody with it, but there is no such platform that we have. And I was like, I can actually make that platform. And this was in the pandemic. Where I was like, who's talking to us in Vancouver? We don't have a community. We don't have anything. If you search, it's like, but we have all these great people, but we're not doing anything with all these resources that we have. When the actors come in, they come, they act, they leave. But imagine if you're starting to promote a Vancouver show in Vancouver, and if we had different mayors. I don't even know who the mayor is in my city. Like,
honest, I'm not gonna lie to you, I don't know either, bro.
So it's like, we don't have those platforms where you can go search for these people, have these conversations. We have you acting in Belgium, but how many people know you are here? You just passed your neighbor and you're like, hi. It's like, yo, bro, you're not just saying hi. This is the person you're probably trying to, you were watching when you're watching fucking a million little things with your girl. But it's like, we don't have those things, because it's like, oh yeah, these shows are shot in Vancouver, but they're American shows, right? So when people watch it, the assumption is, oh, it's all in America, but it's like, no, we actually have thriving industries here in Vancouver. So when I started this, that was the goal. Like, I just want to create a platform where we bring every, because at first I was like, yeah, I'll just bring people in act, because I'm in the entertainment industry to only be entertainers. Then I started doing mixed martial arts, and you're like, oh shit.
You brought in some mixed martial arts?
Yeah, I brought a guy who almost got into the UFC. He's likely going to get into it. He gave me, like, he's talking about being in Brazil and all that. And then I'm I'm learning from this person. And it opens a different world as well. Like, for me, it's like allowed me to see a different sides of people. Like, except you, because this is who you are every fucking day. But yeah, it's like, you meet people where they're introverts, but when they show up and start telling you, oh, I was doing this. Like, one of my coaches, she's like, I started doing martial arts at the age of 4. Now she's like 25. And that person is a killer. But she's a sweet human being, but you're like, okay, I will ask proper questions and I'll try to get you to kill me.
But I don't want to offend you.
Yeah, I don't want to offend you.
Next thing you know, my jaw's missing. You know what I mean?
But it's like, those people all have journeys. And she's like, yeah, if I wasn't doing this, kicking people in the cage, I'll probably be working in an aquarium. You're like, who the fuck those two things mix? But it's like, everybody has a story. And who I'm trying to reach, it's like, I'm trying to reach young people who are coming up, because I felt like when I came here, nobody spoke to me or told me, like, oh, you want to get into acting? It's possible. Like, you're asking me, how are you a jack of all trades? No one ever told me you could be, say, a director. It's like, oh, I want to be a director. It's expensive. Forget about it. And then you meet someone who's like, oh, just pick up a camera. You're like, oh, I already have a camera. What do you mean? Like, pick up a camera, get your friends, give them something to work with, and there you are a director. That's where you start from.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it was possible. So I felt like for me, if I was young and I had a platform, like a podcast like this, it would have helped me a lot, because then I would have found like I had that producer. She spoke about producing, how these things work. Now you know who to follow. Now you know who to ask your questions. And they're in Vancouver. It's not like they're in America or in LA.
They're here.
Like,
all the resources are here.
Yeah, right? They're right there. And they probably have like 500 followers on Instagram. So if you text them, it's like they'll see it.
They might see it.
You might have dialogue. It's like, how do you create projects? So it's like the people I'm trying to reach is those young people who be like, hey, I'm already old. Here's some information for you as you're coming up. Because, you know, going to film school is expensive.
Yeah.
Here are people you can go follow who are still starting out in their journeys or who have gone a certain rate in their journeys that you can learn from and have the conversations with. Like, you just told us how acting. You were telling me I can be an actor. But imagine if I was 20 and you're telling me that same conversation. It'll be like, oh, I can actually do this and I can pursue it. And then by the time I'm, say, 30, it's like 10-year run, and you would have influenced that and you wouldn't even know, because the internet, it's, you don't know who's going to watch this, at what point they'll watch it. I can put it up next week. They can see it 10 years from now and be like, oh shit, this guy played soccer, did the same shit I did. He had an injury. I just got an injury. Oh, I can switch careers and do something that works for me. I can be a coach. I can be this. I can be that. But it's like, with a podcast and with content, it helps. One day you're going to have kids, grandkids, grandkids. They're like, what was Marcel doing in 2022? Just go on YouTube. Like, shit. Oh, so this is where this comes from. So it's like, I'm trying to reach this generation, but also like create content for generations to come. Like, our kids, if they grow up, I don't know if racism ever ends. And they're like, we don't mix. It's like, look at that video. Like, think of the odds of you in Germany going to Spain and coming to Canada, me in Zimbabwe coming straight here. What are the odds that we'd have ever met from day one that we were all born? Like, if you're like, this was ever going to happen, people would have been like, yo, that's crazy. Like, stop dreaming, people. It doesn't happen. But that's this platform and who we're trying to reach. It's just say, yo, you can do whatever you want, man. Like,
you are somebody.
Yeah, you are somebody. You are somebody. Here you go. Here's proof.
Here's
proof. If you don't believe me, like, here you go. I just have a camera and microphones. Like, who knows what you can do? And that's how Joe Rogan started. The dude started out with a fucking webcam. And his friend going, hey, how the fuck do you make this thing work? And today the dude has got what, like $100 million contract. I'm also doing it for that, I will be honest. Spotify.
Like, me out. Like, that's fair, bro. We all gotta eat, man.
We all gotta eat. And I'm like, yo, you can pay me $100 million to sit down and have conversations. I'll do that every day, man. I'll do that. But yeah, most importantly, I do it for the legacy, man. It's all about our kids when we're gone. Because history will look back and be like, what did you guys do, right? And then when you become your Oscar-winning actor, be like, yeah, just search me up. Look what I say back then. Shit.
Damn.
I don't believe this. But we created history. It's just, we're creating history every single day. And then the final question for you, man, it's what's the meaning of life?
What's the meaning of life? Huh? I think it's the meaning that we give it. I think it's coming here and learning as much as possible about ourselves and honestly enjoying ourselves as well. Wouldn't you want to enjoy yourself if you're going to Mexico? Wouldn't you want to enjoy yourself? Because this is just like a trip, bro. You know what I mean? It's still crazy to me, but it feels like one day I just woke up and now I'm here. You know, what in the world? All my memories were erased and I woke up and I'm like, now I'm here.
Yeah.
25. Quarter life crisis. You know, but just learn as much as possible. Learn from your mistakes, learn from others' mistakes, and just enjoy yourself. You know, we got to keep our vibration high in this world that's trying to bring us down. You know, we got to keep our vibration high. It's very important. You know, we can't let these demons get to us. You know,
yeah, respect. All right, any final words for the people, man? Let's wrap this up.
You are somebody, and God bless.
Yeah. Subscribe to the channel. Follow me everywhere. He's not on social media, so anybody who likes him, just come follow me.
Anybody who had that,
I'm the closest.
Any appreciation for what we said, follow this brother.
Yeah, I'm the closest you get to seeing this man on the internet.
Yeah. Bro, I got a lot of respect for you, bro. I really appreciate you bringing me out here, man.
What's been your favorite show you've acted on? You gotta pick one.
I have to pick one.
And call every other director shit.
No. All the directors I've worked with, they're amazing fun. I had a lot of fun on Legends of Tomorrow. It was kind of like an alien theme. I was playing they traveled back to Fidel Castro's time, and I was playing one of Fidel Castro's commanders, his like right hand commander, and it was had a lot of fun with that. There's a lot going on. Night shoots. It was a lot of fun. Then it's probably between that and the film that I did with in Spain. It's a film that's going to be coming out, I believe, in the theaters next year. Okay. Yeah, so it was really cool. The lead of that was Jake Gyllenhaal.
And oh, shit.
I had the opportunity to work with him. I was there for a month. I was a supporting character, right? Mm-hmm. The whole movie, I think they shot it for 3 months it took them to shoot it. So, yeah, it was great to see a dude of his caliber work. And yeah, I had a few scenes with him. He was dude's phenomenal. Yeah. Awesome. There's a reason why the fucker's an A-lister.
Yeah. Oh, you learn, right? You're inspired.
Yeah, definitely got me inspired, man. And the crazy thing, dude is strong as fuck, man. Yeah. Dude is physically strong as hell, dude. I had a lot of respect for his physique, man. Yeah. You know, other than his just talent and work ethic and everything. Yeah. Dude is jacked. Yeah.
All right. Maybe we'll forgive him for fucking up Spider-Man. But anyway. massive respect, man. Anyway, thank you for showing up, mate.
My brother, it's been a year, people.
Just
tell God him, bless Zimbabwe, boys.
Tell them it's been a year. It's been a year of hunting down this man. Right? Since last year, November, I think. To this year, it took a year to get him down, and he's not an A-list yet. I'm sorry for y'all when he becomes one.
It's not true what he's saying. It is true, but we're finally out here, and I'm happy to have had the chats with our brother.
All right.
I really appreciate it, man. Appreciate you, mate. Wish you a lot of fun with this podcast. You know what I mean? I'm excited for it to come out and everything, and I'm really proud of you, bro.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? You are somebody, my brother. You are somebody.
I am somebody.
Y'all are somebody. Remember that. We're all someone.
Sion said, I'm becoming an actor after this. He told me to go back to acting.
You better. You guys better quote him, man.
I'm coming.
You know what I mean? Hope he's not full of talk, man.
I'm coming, man. I need that Oscar, you know?
That's what I'm saying, bro. Yeah, you've got a great look. You know what I mean? You've got a great personality, man. Why not?
Yeah, me and Leo. That's my guy. I'm the next Leo DiCaprio. I know he's fucking white. Y'all fucking racist, but I'm the next Leo DiCaprio. You know?
No, bro. Be the next Kevin, my guy.
Next. No, I want to do his, what you call it? Biopic? That'll be weird, but I'll do it. That'll be the most weirdest thing ever. But anyway, that's my dude. Yeah, I'm the next Kevin, man. I'm coming. I'm following your footsteps because you guys really inspired me that day. I was like, yo, how's this dude talking to like background? Like, I just do this for fun. But it's like, yeah, if I was an actor, I'd do the same thing. Like, just treat people like people, you know.
Humans are humans.
Yeah, it's not about rent. That really touched me when you did that shit. I was just like, damn.
Bro, be careful with the ego, bro. Yeah. You know what I mean? In anything in life, you know?
Yeah.
We got to have an ego death early, man.
But you got fans. How do you do fans? You got fans yet?
I got fans yet. Yeah. Honestly, when I last time in Belgium, I had people that wanted to take pictures with me. Where I was like, damn. You know what I mean? I was like, okay. You know what I mean? I was like, whoa, that was the okay. Yeah, you know?
Different life.
Yeah, it's cool, you know? You respect people. You know,
that's what's up.
You gotta respect your fans. You gotta respect your people. You gotta respect everybody. Right. You know,
anyway, my man.
It's all love.
Peace, people.
God bless.
We out.